What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
All right, what's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk show rating is a zero, but it is our first live stream attempt in the new COVID, well, not really since COVID, but at least in the 2020 football season.
Was it football season?
I mean, does training camp count?
Is this even training camp yet?
I don't know.
Sort of, but not really.
Listen, right. The players have assembled.
Kind of like the Avengers?
Avengers.
With us, we have Jason. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm all cross-eyed now. I'll go with a one. I just got a wind down Monday. You know, had a had some good drinking this past weekend watching the PGA Championship. It was on the West Coast, so each night it was in prime time, going to about 8 or 9 o'clock each night, Saturday and Sunday. So it was a long weekend. So I wasn't planning to drink a ton tonight. So I'm just got a little wind down Monday. That's it. Kind of pouring one out for the Pelicans bubble bursting.
Good job. Scott, welcome to the show. Sitting over here.
Over here. That way. The other way.
Yeah. What's your number?
I'm about a one. Drinking some Diet Dr. Pepper. Got a good caffeine buzz going right now. So.
Oh. All right. Well, I got.
Did y'all know there was a Dr. Pepper shortage apparently in the country?
Oh, I know there's God. I do know there's a Diet Barks root beer shortage. Renee can't find any in the cans and barely can find any.
Buddy
in the
D's family bought them all up and.
Well, the regular box is fine. You know, it's a regular box night. You know,
at least the Saints are playing.
And okay. Jeff's driving around the city trying to find Clorox wipes. So.
Yeah, do y'all have a shortage on Clorox wipes?
Not that I know of, but I don't really go out of my way to buy Clorox wipes.
Apparently, everybody up in central Louisiana does. Anyway,
I'm trying to wipe the Cowboys stink off of them.
Right. No, my eyes are not too far apart. All right, cran apple and vodka is what I got on the tap tonight. Okay. And I see we're all sporting our COVID-19 Saints survivor buffs, which double as it could be a do-rag, it could be a mask, it could be just a complete face cover, it could be a buff, it could be a tube top. And the
tube top tonight. Could it be a wash rag? Could it be a gumdrop? I don't know. Call me. Tell me.
Right. Where's Courtney?
Right. The spirit of Deke.
That's right. All right. And of course, as always, on our live streams, if you're watching on Facebook Live, then feel free to chat. Say hello. We don't know you're watching if you don't say hello. And feel free to participate in the conversation, especially when Jason leaves and goes to get something.
Well, I was just making sure people are paying attention. You know, don't just lurk like you're watching porn. You know, it's okay to say hi.
All right. That's a perfect segue to Saints
that
training
is
camp.
To everything, right?
Yeah. All right. Saints training camp. What's going on? What have you heard? Not a whole lot. Or Saints meeting at the hotel. Is everybody in lockdown at the same hotel?
Well, it's optional. Not everybody has to stay at the hotel.
Yeah.
It's encouraged, not optional. And, you know, it's crazy because really, you know, in a normal off season, they would have been in training camp for about 2 weeks at this point. And, you know, they still kind of initially reported around that date. And, look, I'll be honest, I'm not really in football mode quite yet, so I wasn't even sure, like, what the hell. Other than getting tested for COVID, I'm like, what are they? Are they just working out? I know part of the agreement is practices are limited, but apparently they're finally going to start practicing a week from today, I believe.
A week from today, which is Monday, August 10th.
Which is Monday the 10th, right. So it's kind of, because, I mean, there's no preseason games to get ready for, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they're just working out and continuing to get their COVID tests. At this point, I know they finally Everybody's, as far as I know,
everybody's there.
Right. They've started to do some of their player interviews. Yeah, none of our major players opted out.
Excellent.
Or even anybody. Did we have anybody opt out?
There was two backup tight ends.
Two backup tight ends, yeah. Which was actually pretty smart because they weren't going to make the team anyway. They opt out to get paid $150,000 just to sit at home and not do anything. So, you know.
Was it Dave in the group chat said, didn't he type something about, like, do you think about that kind of a decision? These guys would know they weren't going to make the team, which means they were going to have some other job that they were going to try to do, which was not going to pay $150,000. So they just, I mean, very smart decision on their part. Take your $150,000, don't play. Right. And just work out. Chris Farmer's on the live stream says, evening, gents. I'm about a two working on it. Welcome back to the show, Chris. I haven't seen you in a while. It's a little,
but in fairness, we also haven't had a show in a while. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. We haven't seen you because we haven't been online. And there's
and we can't see you because we have to distance ourselves.
That's right. Todd Bourgeois says, a couple of tight ends ousted out. I guess that's opted out.
Opted out, yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. You talk about... they're at the hotel and they're working out. I just picture like the little gym rooms they have at a hotel, like all of them stuffed in there, waiting for somebody to get off the treadmill.
Right. I wonder if they chartered like a bus to take them to the facility, like, and they're just sleeping at the hotel. And then I would. I mean, just go to Saints facility, or they could drive themselves. Which
they probably take a bus.
Yeah, they're doing lockdown.
Yeah, and like Jason said, it's kind of voluntary. I think Morstead had said that he was going to kind of bounce in and out back from there to home, I guess, to check on his family or whatever. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird. They're trying to create, I guess, as best bubble as they can, you know. And I know they had a couple of players that were put on the COVID list, but I think there were false positives, and they took them again, and they came back negative, so they took them right back off, like, the next day.
They fired the doctors who did those tests and hired new doctors.
Well, we've been screaming for them to do that for a while. You know?
Those responsible for that have been sacked, and those responsible for sacking those doctors have also been sacked.
But it does seem like, you know, because so many things are up there. Like, the NBA seems to be working because there is the bubble, but you look at baseball with no bubble, and there's, like, the Cardinals haven't played a game in, like, 12 days or something like that. And, you know, without a bubble, you are going to run into positive tests. So at least it looks like Peyton is going to be as good, as well prepared as he can be for whatever is going to happen this season, you know?
Right.
Which you kind of expect from him, because he's always been that guy, you know?
I mean, that's, you remember Nick and RG, who hates Sean Payton? It's like, look, Payton is good because he can do some of this. You know, like, he if there's a coach that is going to coach your team in a COVID crazy season, I'd rather have Payton do it than a lot of other guys.
Yep. You know? Todd Bourgeois, fuck the cards, go Cubs.
That's right. I mean, like, Belichick just said, yeah, fucking opt out. We're tanking for Taylor Lawrence.
You know, shit.
Do you believe that?
100%. Oh, yeah. 100%. It's fucking Belichick. Of course that's what he's doing. It's not even, I mean, but the first year without Tom Brady, they have no weapons on offense. They are going to completely suck.
Can you take that versus going after, like, Deshaun next year? Doesn't Deshaun Watson become a free agent?
Well, I mean, they can tag him. Houston can tag him. I mean, they're not going to get a free agent quarterback like that. Their best bet. And Belichick realized, just complete do what the Colts did when Peyton Manning got hurt, yeah. Completely tanked, got the first pick, and got Andrew Luck.
And Trevor Lawrence would be a lot cheaper than Deshaun Watson would be.
Yeah, cost controlled for a while.
Yes.
And look, even if they don't get him, I mean, there'll be another.
Wait, Todd, are you saying that Edelman should step up and be the quarterback? He did be a quarterback in high school, didn't he?
If their quarterback room gets COVID, who knows? I mean, if Breeze gets COVID.
Yeah, let me ask y'all that question. I was thinking about that earlier. Breeze gets COVID, who starts, Jameis or Taysom?
Taysom.
I
or a split situation. I think they'd go 50-50 kind of deal.
Does it depend on what week it's in? Like, if it's early in the season, you probably put Taysom in. If it's later in the season, maybe you put Jameis in.
Especially with no preseason.
I mean, that is the one thing learning the offense. Winston is behind the eight ball because he's not going to have any games to play in. He'll have a few practices, but not a ton with pads. Yeah. I mean if it happens early, like if it happens later in the season, I could see him, you know, trying, depending on what Taysom's role in the offense is. I mean, if you haven't played quarterback, then that limits his other opportunities. And if Winston appears like he might be able to handle it, it seems like roll with Winston, so at least you have Taysom as a weapon somewhere else on the field.
And one of the things that coaches have said and kind of been consistent about is he has a high football IQ. Winston does. Like, he seems pretty smart. He's asking the right questions, and
he can see now. I mean, maybe that's all it was. He could see.
Well, what about then the naysayers who say that he's not a high football IQ, and as is evidenced by his high interception count in Arizona.
Like Jason said, it could have
you
been
mean Tampa.
See.
Right.
Red.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking Bruce see. Arians and a red team. Sorry.
I mean, he was in Arizona before.
You know, and, you know, he did throw a lot of interceptions.
And you said Cardinals earlier. It's in my head. You're in my head.
Wasn't he also the NFL passing leader, too?
He threw for 5,000 yards. He threw for 30 touchdowns and 30 picks, but also 30 touchdowns.
Well, no doubt he's got an athletic talent. So,
I mean, it was more – I think people are just especially when he came out and he was in jersey number two and people just flash back to Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks. That's how I was. I was like that.
Only one of the greatest quarterbacks in Saints history.
He threw a backwards pass.
He also won a playoff game.
Oh,
a lot of Saints quarterbacks cannot say that. Only one other Saints quarterback can say that.
This is true.
Yeah, but he didn't win it. Isaac Keem won it.
Right. I mean, he didn't throw three touchdowns.
Oh, I didn't keep up with the chat either. What's the sit-out days if you're positive? Is it 14 days?
I think it's 10.
I don't know, but I know in baseball it's not necessarily days. It's like whenever you can get two negative tests. You know, because the one thing they have to – you can't just say, oh, he tested positive. That's an instant 10 or 14 days. Well, what if it's a false positive, you know?
Okay.
I think it's more about how quickly can you get those negative tests
how important you need back. The player. Yeah.
And, right. And what's good with football is, like we kind of said, you're only playing once a week as opposed to baseball where you're playing every day.
Right.
So, you know,
right,
if you get a positive test, say, after the game on Sunday, there's a chance that you could play the next Sunday.
But in baseball, there's less of a drop-off in talent than
– I'm just talking about the COVID as far as sitting out games and stuff. There's a longer break between games. Now, well, something we'll kind of get to later with college football, they're talking about if there's no college football, playing games on Friday or Saturday.
I mean, I think the NFL would definitely do it on Saturday. And look, they have to; they're going to have to plan.
I can see that. I'm okay with Saturday NFL. I'm not okay with Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Not from the standpoint of having games, but more from the standpoint of the players not having the. I mean, what if you play a Sunday game? You got to play a Thursday game, and then
I think they would.
But it would happen more often.
Well,
we don't even like that.
No, but this year,
Monday night too.
I know, but with the lack of revenue from fans in the stands, they're going to need that extra Thursday night revenue that comes in. They can't kick the games now.
So, you have football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
You're not going to have it Friday. I don't think they're going to do that. But you will definitely see some games shift to Saturday because think about it. If there is no college football, look at all those networks that are used to running the big like CBS running the big SEC game of the week. There's no football anymore. They will definitely kick over an NFL game to Saturday, and I don't think that's going to be a big
issue. SEC's playing. We'll get to that later.
I do tend to think so.
Let's talk about Kamara admitting the truth that he did, in fact, hurt his knee. Snakes don't really have parts, but if I had to guess, I'd say it was the knee.
Was it like a cracker or a biscuit?
A biscuit. His knee was made of biscuits.
Oh, no.
If you listen to the show, last Saints show, all right, let's get back to Kamara. We're talking about his legs made out of biscuits.
Hey, he's got a strong. He played through that. I agree.
He's not right. Although Todd did make the point about Jameis Winston, his legs are made out of crap.
Crab legs.
Hard to break though. Hard to break.
Now
king crab legs.
If Kamara would have opted to have surgery, do you think maybe our season might have been? I don't know. I don't know. Like, do you think he would be stronger now? Do you think it was a good decision for him? I don't know how severe the injury
it
was.
It had to be just a little lingering, nagging thing and not a serious injury. I mean, he played through it, and they refused to start Murray.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, knowing that, why wouldn't they play Murray?
Because right. Peyton has this weird thing about not doing necessarily what's always right in terms of running backs. You know, now look, it was serious enough where you could see a difference. I mean, he was clearly different after week five. He probably should have had the surgery. I mean, the two games we started Murray present, he ran for 100 yards each week. Now, maybe he doesn't do that all season, but if Kamara has the surgery early and he can come back in week 12 fresher, I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, I think he's healthy now. I'm not worried about that. I just think it was clear something was wrong with him and him admitting it.
Todd's saying he's in his contract year this year too.
Well, speaking of that, he made some comments about that today. He said he's focused on football. He said he told his agent he doesn't want to hear any news about contracts unless it's something significant. So he's listening. If the Saints offer him something, he'll listen.
Which we won't.
Not with the cap dropping next year, am I right?
Right. Nobody knows what it's going to be, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's going to be no negotiations until they have a clearer picture of what the hell's going to go on. And, you know, if it's looking dire now, but if in October, you know, let's say they allow 30,000 fans. I know it's not a full dome, but at least it's something. It would drive up, you know, the floor if some places can have fans. Now, the Saints have not said anything yet. I know they're going to wait until the last minute because they're desperate to have fans in the building. We'll see what the mayor.
Yeah, that was my question.
I mean, it all comes down to what they're going to allow, because I can tell you if the Saints said, hey, look, 20,000 people can come. If you want in, you can come in. There'll be 20,000 people there in the stadium.
Oh, yeah. But I got a feeling LaToya the Destroyer is going to put a nix on that real quick.
And, I mean, look, if I'm allowed to go, I'll go. I'll put a mask on. I don't know how they can enforce people keeping their masks on. I mean, I think that's the big issue here, is that you can wear your mask going in. Once you get to your seat, you know damn well people are going to take it off and not give a shit.
I mean, if you're 6 feet apart, shouldn't you not need the mask? I mean, if they're only letting 20,000 people in, you should be able to distance everybody.
No, because if you're sitting at the top and I'm sitting below you, whether we're 6 feet apart, what if you sneeze, you cough, and it just comes trickling down.
You call for sneezing to your arm.
So you're just everybody.
Even not doing that, if you're yelling, like, you're screaming the entire game, right? Well, Germs are just flying everywhere.
They could just have ushers standing at each thing, making sure people wear masks.
I mean, I guess that's
the only thing they have to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. Chris Farmer wants to know if Jason's going to the games. He gave his tickets back this year. Jason, I'll answer for you. Yes, Jason will go to every game he's allowed to go to.
That's correct. I ain't scared of shit.
He's a real fan.
Look, I'll pull my buff down over my mouth and my nose, and I'm good.
That's right. That's why we got these Saints buffs, so you can go to the games.
Right, so Jeff cannot go to the game and just
wear it. But I'm going to still wear mine in spirit.
Right.
No, I won't. I'm going to wear it like this or something.
Yeah, that's what we're going to wear it like that.
Right.
I did wear it to the store today when we went on our Clorox wipes hunt.
I've been wearing them all over the town.
Well, I mean, look,
I got a compliment on it.
I've got to wear it going into my office building, and when I'm in my actual office, I can pull it down. But when I go into the common areas, I'll pull it up. So I have a Saints one and a Pelicans one that I just kind of rotate in and out.
Yeah,
better than wearing a mask.
Let's say the NFL starts. Y'all think they complete a full season?
Yeah,
I don't.
I honestly think that they will, and I think it has more to do with the fact that.
Well, what do you mean by full season? You think 16 games?
I think we're gonna play through to a Super Bowl, and Saints are gonna win the Super Bowl, and I think that's
different though. I think they will finish the season, but I think there may only be like 12 regular season games.
An abbreviated season.
I think at some point some team's going to get an outbreak and we may have to pause the season.
I think that the virus is going to become less and less of a health concern
after November.
I think that if you think about how viruses work, and they need the host to survive. So the first, if you think, look at the death rate, the death rate starts to drop because the virus itself is evolving or mutating and weakening itself so that it's not a killer. It's just, again, like getting the flu. It's why, what was it, the swine flu, the bird flu, the H1N1, SARS, all coronaviruses were these, and then they weakened, and they're still in existence. They're still out there. They're just non-health issues. So I think, I don't know that there's going to be a vaccine for this, because there's not a vaccine for other coronaviruses. I think you're going to end up with, we're getting better at treating it. We're getting better at detecting it, and it weakens itself. I think as time goes on, it becomes less and less of a health issue, of a major health issue, to the point where if you player gets it, they're just going to have to recover. It's like if you got the flu and you sit out.
I hope you're right.
Me as well.
I'm praying for that.
I try to apply logic to my thinking every now and then.
Silly rabbit.
But I see what Chris says, and I agree with him. Saints fans will not give a fuck about masks, and you are definitely not wrong there.
No. Falcons fans have bags. They're going to take a page out of the 80s.
Wait a minute. There's Falcon fans?
Yeah. You didn't see the picture of them? All three of them from the...
I missed that one.
Sorry. Paperback. I tweeted it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and look for it.
The Falcons will do the virtual fan setup like what the NBA has been doing.
It'll be the same three people.
Right. Yeah, they'll just be multiplied. Yeah.
Right. And they'll pump in their crowd noise. They already have that on recording.
They already do that. Yeah, they already do that.
That's right. Oh, Todd said that they face shields for all players, supposedly. And I did see who was it? I forget what player it was.
There was one guy. I think there was one guy. It might have been an LSU guy.
From Minnesota.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson didn't care for it. Or some player was like, it kept fogging up. Some player was like, these face masks are shit.
Oh, that was an LSU player. Yeah, he said it's like breathing in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, shit. That ain't good.
Yep.
I don't know if you ever breathed in a Ziploc bag. It gives you a little buzz. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a whippet.
You get a little burst of strength.
That's if you hotbox the Ziploc bag first. Wait, hold up. Kip Kipper said, did you hear that Dalton Hilliard's son was found dead today?
I saw that. Yeah,
I did details hear that. Yet. I did hear that.
29 years old, I believe. Played at Nichols.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that today. It's like, holy shit.
Former Nichols State running back Dalton Jr. dies at 29.
Yep.
That's what Jason just said.
Yeah. Well, I was confirming it because I read it on the news.
Right. I mean, we had to get a second source, you know. Oh, okay. We don't care to be first. We got to make sure we're right. So yeah, so, you know, I guess it will be finally interesting to... You know, it's so crazy, you know, at this time of year, we're so used to getting daily updates. Oh, who did this? Who did that? Some guy had some crazy
catch. Overreact to, right.
Right,
the DBs,
right.
Playing well. Right.
Emmanuel Butler, savior.
Right.
And, you know, we're really
Drew Brees' shit quarterback challenge.
I mean, we're going to have to listen to the press because nobody's going to actually, no fans are going to be at practice. So the only info we're going to get is from, you know, footage from the press, I'm assuming.
Could they maybe have like a drone out there capture some footage? I mean, can they get any?
You want to get a drone patrol?
There you go.
Ah, I see what you did.
Well, you need the drone patrol, and you can fly that drone every day, Jason. And we can live stream it.
Well, okay. Look, they're putting cameras in classrooms to do virtual learning. Just put a camera up inside the facility and totally let us watch practice.
They've done it. Remember the last few years, they were doing the 360 camera thing and all that shit. They got the technology to do it.
They can't do a lot because other teams will probably pick up on some shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, speaking of which, starting tomorrow, Hard Knocks is starting tomorrow.
What are they going to show?
Fuck if I know, but they're starting tomorrow.
So they're not going to allow any local media at like practices, even distance that practice?
No, go back real quick. Hard Knocks. It's airing tomorrow?
Yes.
Meaning they've already recorded something?
Yes.
They've recorded them getting their COVID test.
I guess.
Right up the nose. Yep.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be an NFL documentary on COVID-19. You know what I mean? Like the NFL's response to COVID-19.
And it's two teams. So it's the Rams and the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they'll probably show a lot of people's families. Oh, this is my kid. You know, this is why I'm, you know, I'm, or they might show a player who opted out. Hey, I'm opting out because, you know, my family, blah, 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 blah. No.
Fletcher Mackerel gives me the shits.
Going back, they are going to have local press there. I'm just saying they're not going to have fans there, so we're going to have to rely on local press to give us updates. Whereas before,
I mean, we kind of do that anyway. They have their Twitter streams turn into live practice. Ooh, 5 yard out for
you know what? It's gonna be like back in the day when we were kids and we would have to wait for the next day for
we'd have to wait for the newspaper.
Yeah, Times Picayune, and you get Walsh's column. What was his name?
Brian Alley Walsh.
Walsh. Yeah. Yeah. You get his column and stuff like that. It's going to be like that, except it's you're right, Jason. Like all 10 of those main guys that did the Twitter circle jerk last week,
right,
are going to tweet everything, every play, who put extra grits on their plate, you know, and Underhill
will be there, so we at least know one credible person.
Right, I'm just going to read Underhill's column every day.
I say that with love. I will say all those guys that were kind of listing out their favorite media coverage guys and all that, for the most part, like Sigler, Underhill,
Holder. I'm just going to pay attention.
I like all those guys. All four of those are good. What's his name in Monroe that does the analysis better than Detillier?
Baldy?
No. He's a local. He's a Monroe guy. He does kind of your actual color like play analysis, and he'll tweet after games on certain play, kind of like what Baldy does.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's pretty on point.
Okay, but anyway,
he's great. So I love him. I don't know his name.
Follow him on Twitter.
It's not Detillier, I'll tell you that.
Well, but and I guess too, you know, maybe once that actually starts happening, I'll kind of really dig into the season more and get a little more excited, because now it's kind of like, well, there's still nothing really going on. Even though they're there, you may have a few interviews. It's just kind of like, yeah, there's still nothing. There's just nothing going on yet.
Did they do that just to kind of quarantine them? Yeah, like to kind of quarantine them.
I think once everybody gets to all right, boys, let's do this. And then, all right, you got to get your test. And then it also gives them time, you know, because you don't want to have guys come in, all right, let's practice on day two. And, oh, shit, we got 10 guys, got it. And then they spread it everywhere. So
they missed out on a lot of conditioning ahead of time, right? It's kind of like players doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Not in the building. So maybe they're doing a little bit of that right now, right? And then it's delayed. And then there's no rush because there is no preseason, which means you don't want to do what you would do in prep for August right now and then have a month of nothing. So to your point, you're not going to get much until – well, it should be now, actually, because it's August.
it's gonna be a slow burn. It's gonna really be a slow burn.
I think I do think it'll ramp up maybe quicker than we think, just because it's gonna be like, oh shit, now we're practicing.
Well, but I mean, like, the NFL's let them because they
draft Friday. I'm like, wow, it's already upon us.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I know they're. I'm assuming like they're working out and everything and doing, you know, getting their cardio up and running. But in terms of the actual like
they can't breeze, throwing pads on and stuff like that.
Right. I mean,
hopefully they're doing some walkthroughs and some
virtual learning. I mean, I don't know.
If they're in their bubble at the hotel, you get the ballroom in the hotel and you do some walkthroughs. They could be they could be doing that. Like, remember how they did for the Super Bowl and every Saturday night?
Yeah. Kind of like we said, you know, it sets up well for us, being that we have a lot of players coming back, so there's not a lot of new learning. Unless they're putting in new stuff, you know, so.
Which they should be.
I mean, really, it's kind of just Emmanuel Sanders and Ruiz. Those are the two guys, at least on offense. Yeah, but I mean, in terms of
Sanders, and Sanders is more than anything, it's probably just learning the language, not
how to run a freaking route.
But also, like, you know, getting the time in together with Drew and knowing where Drew likes to put the ball accurately in his chest. You know, he's probably not used to that.
Didn't we have a receiver that kind of, like, struggled because the ball was too accurate?
It was too good. Yeah, it was too good. Right. Yeah, right.
So. Like stone hands. And
I mean, I prefer, you play in the backyard, like, I don't like the ball right here myself.
I'm going to drop it. It's going to bounce right off my fucking chest. I'd rather go get it with my stone hands. And
that's right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, original Dome Patroller Adam. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Any final thoughts on Saints football, NFL, before we move on? We'll move on to – we'll stay with football and move to college, though.
We could talk about Darius Geis for a second if you'd like.
Oh, yeah.
What? Yeah. What the –
I don't know. That's not good. That's not cool, man.
And he's probably going to get suspended, I think, maybe for 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, if this is true, yeah, this he definitely
if it's true,
should.
And it's all alleged. Like it's all alleged right now.
Allegedly.
And I think if he was on a different team, they might have kept him a little bit longer. But right after Washington went all through that scandal with the cheerleaders and getting them pimped out and shit like that, like they are not dealing with anything.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
If you do,
well, do you think Geist? You think with all that shit, like Geist was just like involved? It was all. It's all part of that same thing, or is Geist is kind of like all his own initiative?
I mean, he's got to be. Something's got to be up with him. But it also didn't help. And you see this a lot of times where like a guy will get hurt, and it's like he's stuck doing nothing but rehab. And look, it's no fucking excuse for what he did because it's despicable. But it's like if he wasn't hurt, he'd be busy doing all this, actually doing football stuff. And it's like you get hurt and then you get down on yourself and you maybe things go crazy in your mind a little bit. Like I don't know, but it didn't help that his first two seasons were injury riddled and he didn't.
Right. And when he played, I mean, God, he was good. You know?
He was.
And it's just if he could stay healthy a year, he'd probably be one of the better running backs in the NFL.
It is wild because
time passed, do you think?
He did seem to be such a good guy too. Like when he got there, and I listened to that DC
and
show.
And money
like,
changes and, people sometimes.
But he's not getting paid a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. And I follow him on Twitter, and he's
he was out there engaging with the fans and trying to, you know.
Jose Mejia is here three times, man. He said three times.
Yeah, look, it's not good. I mean, he strangled his girlfriend until she passed out.
Maybe it was a sex thing.
It could have been.
And she just didn't like it, so she, you know.
I don't know. I just think, God, it's not good.
Pineapple!
But, look, after a suspension, middle of the season, fresh legs, man. He could be cheap.
I mean, we're not touching. Come on, we're not touching
guy him. You won your locker room. If we're he's guilty of this,
hey, man. We're all in, baby. Let's go.
At what cost? What you gonna sell your morals, your values?
Absolutely.
If it gets the Super Bowl ring, I mean,
give me the ring, baby.
Well, and that's part of it too. With the cap going down, you know, realistically,
Patriots will grab him before we have a chance.
But realistically, with the cap going down next year, it's like I know we talk about it every year, but like we are all fucking in doing the Super Bowl this year because shit's.
Oh, this is Drew Brees.
You know, like who knows?
Drew is not playing. I'm the more every day that passes, I'm more and more convinced that Drew is not coming back.
And that's kind of the reason why, like, no matter what COVID happens, like, I want a season because this is it.
Yeah,
you know, right. The selfish Saints fan in me says we need a season because this is it.
Yeah. Right, let's say they cancel the season. Does Drew come back?
That he might, I think. It depends. Remember his trainer tweeted, was it last week or something? And they were reading a little bit between the lines of his trainer's tweet, and it felt like kind of a his off-season guy, kind of like this year's felt different. Drew was showing a hell of a lot more gratitude for all of what has been done. It's kind of like there's this finality to it.
So you don't think he comes back?
If they canceled the whole season, it would be more likely.
If I was Drew, I would have to come back because in my mind I had committed to playing another season. If I didn't play another season, I almost look at it as maybe a gift.
But I mean,
for year of like I can rest my body up, even though it's another
but then
year older.
That's it's another year older. I mean, you're going through all this training just to nothing. It's like fucking, and you just don't come.
Well, he might be better with Brittany. I mean, who knows?
You never know. Speaking of which, I'm training and training and training. I think you were transitioning to college football, Jeff.
Trying to, yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So who was the conference that said something today that they're not going to play? Was it the
Big Ten?
The Pac-10?
Well, the Big Ten, but then a source came out and said, oh, no, we haven't decided anything yet. So
yeah, the rumor was that they canceled it, and now they're kind of backtracking, I think, with kind of a lot of people are – you know, they got all these players now tweeting, we want to play, you know, hashtag we want to play. And I think that combined with some of the coaches being like, well, hell, if they cancel the season, we'll go – you know, find our own games. We'll schedule some with us, you know, with somebody, you know, just to get them in or whatever. So
yeah, they probably can't do that legally.
I mean, what there's no
you're
like
locked
the NCAA,
into the conference. There's contracts. That's a nice
right. Well, threat, hold on. Well,
good luck executing that.
Well, hold on. Hold.
Arrogant
no, no, no.
Coach.
No. If the yes, they're locked into the conferences, but if there's no games anywhere, if they can do this and get games and get that money, then they'll fucking do it. It's all about the money. That's why they want the football. You know, they don't want the football season because of the liability
I don't see the conference
kids getting.
The conference has.
If the conference can get paid by a TV network, they're going to do it.
Right, which is why which is why as fast as they said they weren't going to do it, somebody was like, "Oh, you, this guy doesn't speak for us."
Right. Right, but
I think the SEC plays for sure. Or will be the last man standing if everybody folds.
It exposes a lot of the problems of college. It's like, well, the players can't have a union like professional players have, even though it's basically a semi-professional league, and the universities don't want the liability of all these kids get it, but there's all this money coming in that they're going to lose if they don't have a season.
It's all you need is the SEC, and it doesn't matter if anybody else plays. If the SEC plays, college football is fine. That's who's going to be in the playoffs anyway. I mean, and they're the most exciting conference. So if you got all SEC, all football season on Saturday, that's great.
People are going to watch it.
That's the best football, right. I mean, what would you rather watch, Maryland play Boise State? I mean,
yeah.
Minnesota versus
at this point, I'll take
Alcorn.
Michigan get curb stomped by Ohio State again.
Right. Again.
So it'll be Notre Dame and the SEC.
Well, it seems like the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are the conferences that want to play. It'd be the Big 10 and the Pac-12 that are kind of like, eh.
Yeah, because they only have like one team in each of those conferences.
Well, that's the thing. As like the Pac-12 never gets a team in the playoffs, and the Big Ten will get Ohio State in, but that's it. And they never advance to the championship game. So
it's kind of funny that this all came out like right after the SEC like went through the trouble of adding. You know, they have 8 SEC games. They said they're going to play 10, so the SEC had to go in basically add 2 games for each team, and they even had like this big special on SEC Network to announce it and stuff. And it's kind of funny that they had all that, and then they're talking like a couple days later about possibly canceling the season. I mean, and it's weird. And so I don't know. LSU,
right? It's crazy that they came out and announced schedules, and then to do this. That doesn't make any sense.
None.
Maybe someone has sources that aren't reliable.
Yeah, but their sources were first. That's what matters, right?
Yeah, first. Yeah. It's some
LSU picked up Vandy and Missouri in their schedule, so that's worked out favorably.
Didn't Bama
pick
up Vandy as well?
No, they picked up Kentucky and
They
Missouri,
picked up a pretty easy win too.
I think it was
really
Kentucky and Missouri or Arkansas. Yeah,
a lot of
Missouri
complaining that like they
or Arkansas and Kentucky.
Well, they should have picked up a team like fucking Florida. Like let Alabama play Florida. You know we have to play Florida every year.
I said they kind of based it on their schedule. So like if your team had a already established tough schedule, they kind of
so
gave
everybody
easier
in the
teams.
SEC West has a tougher schedule than everybody in the East.
Well, but they probably had. Did Alabama have USC scheduled this year? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had Texas.
Had
they
Texas,
had USC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I'm gonna move on from football now into a quick Pelican plunge.
They're plunging all the way down into the Briar Patch, Jeff.
Yep. Well, it's going to be something else now. It's the Princess and the Frog ride, not Splash Mountain.
Not yet. It's going to be a while. But yeah, fucking disappointing, man. I guess I should have known. The one big difference maker, the reason why they played so poorly, is that Lonzo Ball just did not do very well in the bubble. He struggled, and he admitted it today. It's like he sucked. Flat out, Lonzo Ball sucked, and if he plays well, the team wins. If he doesn't, they lose.
Why, though? Just head not in it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure his head's in it, but again, it's like you had a game yesterday. Now, look, I didn't think they were going to beat the Spurs just because the Spurs have Greg Popovich and we have Alvin Gentry, and if I had to put my money on anybody, it would have been Popovich. You know, I watched the golf instead, but just to come out and just get punched in the mouth right off the bat when they knew it's like it's win or go home, and they still come out flat. I just don't under I just don't understand how the team can come out like that, but that has been a common theme under a certain coach.
Gerald Bucci says, Gerald Bucci said we need to replace Lonzo and Favors.
Well, I'm
Favors.
I'm sorry, Gerald, but no, that's just stupid.
No.
Just stop. Just no. just
I don't agree with that.
Favors too?
Look, no. Favors was solid. Favors was solid on defense. He's not great on offense, but at the end of the day, you look up, he gets like 10 and 11, and he does what he has to do. I mean, our defense sucks, but when he was in the game, our defense was better. And Lonzo, the kid's 22 years old. He was on a run before the stoppage, and when coming back, for whatever reason, he just wasn't. He just didn't have it. I mean, it sucks.
Maybe it's the coaching and Chris Farmer. Chris Farmer says, "I'll take these losses in the bubble if it means getting rid of Gentry."
Yeah. I kind of think the same way.
I think if to really evaluate, you need to get rid of the coach before you get rid of any players.
Yeah, because despite who the players are, I mean, since
it's the same shit every year.
It's been the same shit. Shitty defense, even though we have good individual defenders. I mean, we had Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis, and we sucked at defense. We still have Drew Holiday. Lonzo Ball's a good defender. Josh Hart's a good defender. We suck at defense. The team is in the top three or four in the league in turnovers.
Once again,
yesterday we had 20-something turnovers. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then we were poor free throw shooting, even though we have good shooters. We just can't make free throws for whatever reason. We suck in the clutch. We're awful in the last 5 minutes of the game. That's been consistent since Gentry's been here, no matter what player has been on the roster.
And I just playing devil's advocate, not that I believe in this, but how much is it Gentry versus, say, the assistants? Who are supposed to be working on specific nuances.
Well, look, one of the assistants, Fred Vincent, actually helped Lonzo Ball improve his shooting. You know, he was a terrible shooter, and before the bubble, his three-point percentage was up to like 39%. I mean, our assistants are good. I mean, we brought in this guy from Denver, an offensive assistant, and then we brought in another defensive assistant from the Rockets. And our defense—I don't understand how our defense is so bad. When if you look at like Drew Holiday is an all NBA defender, Josh Hart is a good defender, Favors is a decent defender. We have good defenders, but as a team, whatever he's doing, it just doesn't work.
And like you said, it's every season, no matter what assembly of players you put.
Right. I mean, you could say, look, this Pelicans team is young and inexperienced.
Aren't focused because that's coaching too, is that they're not
right.
focused.
There's no reason why they shouldn't have come out blazing yesterday. There's no reason for that. There's only, I mean,
blazing from the beginning, not just yesterday.
Not playing situation, which again may be coming from outside the.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Zion situation is still kind of weird. Like, I feel like maybe something happened that they're not telling us, or they need to get his weight in check. But like, even despite all that, it's like you come out flat against you get destroyed against the Clippers, you lose, you blow the game against the Jazz. It's just bad losses. But it's just kind of the same shit that we've seen no matter what teams we've had. That's the problem. It's the same thing over and over again. Yep. So you know, I don't know.
Less Miles syndrome.
Now Gentry has a year left on his contract. So with the reduction
of scored 10 on Melly.
With the reduction of revenues this year, is Gale gonna be willing to just pay Gentry to go away? I don't know. I'd like to think Gentry would just be a man and just resign and move to the front office.
Ain't.
But he probably won't. Yeah, he probably won't.
Well, okay, if he moved to a front office, maybe if he's gonna take his same money. I mean, it's all everything's about money. If he can make a lot of money being a bad coach and losing games and not get fired, he'll keep doing that. He'll make more money.
And
if you had a job where you would get paid a shit ton of money and you're not held accountable for the results, you're just going to keep that job. Why would you go to another job?
Which is pretty much what he's done. I mean, I think this is his 17th year and he's got three winning seasons. And yet he's still coaching. Like, that's why I wasn't a big fan when Dell fucking fired Monty, and look at Monty now. He's coaching Phoenix. Phoenix are the princesses of the bubble. They're 6-0. Phoenix is 6-0 in the bubble under Monty Williams. And we're stuck with Gentry.
Yep.
You know, it's And the problem is, you know, yes, there's a lot of excitement. Yes, the team is young. I think their future is still bright. But when you and his organization continue to allow this mediocrity to occur, you just turn off fans. You keep turning off fans when you need to build and attract fans. And
thinking this, back this kind of when shit Sean Payton work. And Drew Brees came here, and you read their books about when they came here, and the fact that was what called the culture of the Saints under Jim Haslett and Mike Ditka's year and other. And it's not the coaching staff. It's the executive level of the team. It was mediocrity is fine. It's good enough. As long as we're selling tickets, seeing we're making a few bucks, we're good. There was never a desire, enough desire to actually form a winning culture, a championship franchise, until Sean Payton changed that. Drew Brees changed that. So you're right. Like, now, I don't understand how the same organization can own both teams and one of them be okay with mediocrity while the other one is still going all in, unless they just don't.
I know last offseason they brought in David Griffin, and Griffin brought in Trajan Langdon and Swin Cash, and I think those are good moves. I do trust David Griffin. You know, I think he's a good guy to have in charge. I think in the past it's just been, well, the organization, we don't know shit about basketball, so, and Benson.
And maybe
was,
that's part of
well,
it.
Well, and some of it was Benson was still alive. He didn't give a fuck. He was like, "Oh, Gale wants a basketball team. Let's get a basketball team." I think now, I think Gale cares. I think
Griffin, Gale is your team now. What you doing?
Well, and that's the big decision. Is Griff going to make the big decision that's necessary this offseason?
Actually, you're right. Actually, if you think about Gale's, since inheriting the team, like really being hers, they have made some better decision making.
Yeah,
there's been better decision making.
Finally firing Dell Demps and hiring David. Like, I like David Griffin. I think he's a good GM. I think he's the guy
that
can get us there.
It takes time. He's got to come in. You don't get rid of the coach right away. Give him another year. Now, this offseason is whenever you pull that trigger.
I mean, he's got to realize Gentry's not the guy. He just has to realize that Gentry is not a coach that can win you a championship.
I mean, everyone else with –
everyone else can see it. Anybody can see it. I mean,
and even some people who don't have eyes can see it.
I mean, Gentry is a proven. He's a proven loser.
Do you wonder?
Yeah, I mean, Gentry.
Jose says the Pels are the Detroit Lions of the NBA.
As of right now, he's not wrong. Except at least we got Zion. But fuck, they need to get his ass in shape. And you know, they need to make hard decisions on where they want to go as an organization. They need if they want to win, they got to fuck some shit up this offseason. Because this bubble performance was just incredibly disappointing.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, that's right. It really was.
Yep. All right.
Because, we were the marquee team. We were the first game to play. They were expecting, you know, a lot of people say they're just putting them in because Zion and they want them to make the playoffs.
And then the Pels screw the whole TV contract and everybody by not playing it.
Which is what we do. I mean, that's what we do. We're good at that.
New Orleans. All right. I'm gonna cut us short on that so that we have 10 minutes to talk about the upcoming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale.
So for all of you sports fans, if y'all want to check out, go ahead and check out.
That's right. For all of you Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans who are not caught up, and by that we mean you've seen every episode up until the series finale, which comes on next week. We three have watched that show since the beginning. This is season seven. So it's a long time coming in the making, and we're pretty I don't know, it's bittersweet for me, but I'm stalling to give the people who are listening on their podcast time to unlock their phone, hurry up and get it and stop it and get it going.
Move on to another podcast.
That's right. Or maybe if you are an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan and you are a Colston fan.
Agent Colston.
Agent Colston.
I can't believe we were so stupid.
For 7 years, we never thought to call him Agent Colston.
Only at the end do we fully understand.
That's right.
Yep. So speaking of, man, it's crazy to think how far Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has come from the beginning when it was like an offshoot of the Avengers.
Of the Avengers. The first Avengers movie.
Right. I mean, and the MCU itself. I mean, it was still very tethered to the original, to the MCU as a whole. Now, some of that kind of hurt it early on. As I mean, really, season one was hurt because they were waiting on Captain America: Civil War to totally change the game with Hydra. They were kind of spinning their wheels.
Yeah. On top of that, I think season one. I don't. Jason, you'll remember this. Like, I quit the show like after 4 or 5 episodes. I was bored with it. It was dumb. The episodes were boring. They weren't good. I quit watching. And then you. It was a couple weeks later. You had said, "Oh, you watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's really good now." And then you told me you like skip because I was like, "Eh," and you said skip to the episode Tahiti in season one, and just start watching from Tahiti, because it almost like they got, I don't know if they got new writers or whatever they did. They recognized that the show was not going in the right direction, and from Tahiti, it has been phenomenal without ever looking back.
Yeah, it was because when it started and like the premiere got like 12 million people watched it, and you're like, holy shit, I think because that was fresh off of the Avengers, Iron Man 3, and you're just like, oh, it's going to be S.H.I.E.L.D., but like, oh, Tony Stark might pop up, or, now, granted, like, Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury, like, they did have some cameos.
He had one or
some
two
appearances.
Cameos, they talked about Thor a lot.
Right, Lady Sif was down, and she appeared in a couple of episodes.
That's right.
Kobe Smulders as Agent Hill, she appeared. So they were still very tethered, but I think people thought there was going to be more superhero connected to the movie, and it was just for those first few episodes, it was kind of like a Monster of the Week kind of thing. And we didn't really know, and you know, we didn't know the characters yet, and some of them were kind of bland, and it took a while. And like you said, once Tahiti happened, you find out, well, how is Coulson alive? And then I think, did I say Coulson? Why not? So that happened, and then I think he had a flashback episode, and then with Agent Carter and the Commandos, and then turn. That was the big Hydra reveal with Winter Soldier, and once that happened, it just kicked into gear. But then really, I think they figured out, you know, because they were kind of beholden to the movie and had to wait on it, the first part of the season suffered. And they changed direction. So going forward, they kind of like slowly separated from the rest of the MCU. And the show got better as a result of it.
Yeah. And this was a show that I listened to the podcast each week as well. So, you know, we used to do for Lost, and there's certain shows that you're going to listen to, or you're Talking Dead for Walking Dead, whatever. I learned a lot from listening to those podcasts because they were super fans. They knew the comparison to the comic books to this. And like, so when Daisy started to get her powers and they were talking, you know, the whole Quake thing.
Right. The Inhumans, and you knew who she was.
Right. And they couldn't, there was some phrasings or certain words they couldn't use due to contracts and whatnot. And that's where
mutants.
They,
you can't use mutants.
That's right. They couldn't use mutants. Yeah. So they went with Inhumans, and then the Terra Genesis. And, but what I loved is that the evolution, the way the show kind of took us as an audience to where if you weren't open-minded enough for like some really crazy, wild out there TV, like concepts like a virtual world, life model decoys and stuff. They took you there gradually each season. So like, with the Ghost Rider season.
God, that was a fun
remember, they opened season, it up to the whole demon concept. And then they okay, you accept that? Then how about this virtual world thing? And okay, how about we fast forward into space and we get to time travel and we get to... So they went... It's such a sci-fi geeks just... fiesta of all the different types of sci-fi that in each season kind of was its own, but they threaded it together with the whole Fitz and Simmons thing. And
they moved into pods a little bit, kind of like not a whole 22 episode as a full season. They do like, oh, this batch is this arc and this batch is this arc. You had your Inhumans arc, and then you had, I mean, the episode where fucking Gemma was on a fucking space, on a planet somewhere else out of space, and like Fitz had to go through a portal to get her. That's like, holy shit.
Right. Yeah. It's just mind-boggling.
They lean into the weird and crazy, and it's like, I'm here for it. Fuck it. I'm here for it.
And the fact that it's so self-aware, it's a comic book so they have such good drama and such deep and out there, like crazy plots, but at the same time, it's funny. you know, and it's got heart. The characters, the characters are a family, and they're tight. And think about how the characters we've lost along the way. Remember Bobby and what's his name?
Mockingbird. I was hoping we'd get to see her.
I thought we might get them. We still might. Have you heard Mock?
Yeah. But and even think from the beginning of the series, you're like, who's this hacker girl? Oh, she sucks. And now as Quake, you know,
she was a bad guy. You thought she was gonna turn on.
And now she's such a great character. The Fitzsimmons dynamic, you know, like they keep screwing him over too. It's like that's why it's like I don't want Fitz to be dead just because.
The whole underlying theme of the show is that it's the Ross and Rachel effect, right? It's Will Fitz and Simmons have their happily ever after. But I don't know, based on last week's episode, it almost felt like they were telling us they had their happily ever after. Remember, he was telling if we're going to solve time travel, we have all the time that we want. So why don't we go live our lives? What if they lived their lives? That's when they had Deke.
Deke's mama.
Yeah, that's when it happened. They got old, whatever, and then he died, and then she flashed
back
and came back. You know what I mean? So they actually lived
their life. And she got younger when she came back?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. They'll explain it.
Jason,
she's an LMD.
All the stuff that this show has done,
right? I don't know, man. You're talking about coming through and she de-ages when she comes back in time. I don't know about that. Yeah, seems a little fishy.
She's an LMD too. They're all LMD.
And I mean, you talk about people that have lost. I mean, you talk about like Grant Ward, you know, and I mean, his character was good.
I was kind of glad.
Him and Daisy dynamic.
Well, his character definitely the turn where he was Hydra was for the better for him. For sure.
Yes,
he was a lot better character
guy than good guy. Yeah,
right. So whoever they got to play the young John Garrett,
it's his son.
Is it his son? I'm about to say because he is like to a T.
Yeah,
him.
Yep.
It reminds me of Bill Paxton. Yeah, it's like Chet from Weird Science. I mean, with the slick back hair and just him.
Yeah, it is his son.
Okay,
isn't that cool? Again, another reason to love the show.
That's almost crazy to think. It's been so long. It's like, oh, yeah, Bill Paxton was a big villain in season.
I completely forgot about that.
You know? But I am thankful, for the longest time, you know, the ratings started off high and then they dwindled. As it kind of got more sci-fi and geeky, it lost the mainstream audience. So for the longest time, it was a worry of, oh, shit, is this the last season? I really thought it was going to end after season five, you know. I think they kind of planned it, it took
a long time to get renewed after that season.
Yeah, well, and the way they filmed the ending, you know, when it was kind of like, oh, yeah, May and Coulson were on a beach and Coulson was going to die. That was going to be the end. And then it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're renewing him for season six and season seven. So I'm like, oh, shit. So, yeah, season six wasn't that great, but season seven has been a lot of fun.
The first half of season six, when they were, wasn't that with the Kree and they were in the future?
No, that was season five.
Five.
Okay.
See, you don't even remember season six.
It's all a blur.
Season six, Coulson.
Yeah, it just wasn't. But season seven has been fun. The time hopping, the meeting different characters throughout the journey, I think has been interesting.
Poor Enoch.
I know, Enoch, dude. Yeah. What a death scene. I think he comes back. I think you're gonna get. It's kind of like a Doctor Who situation. He travels through time, back and forth, in and out. Like we're gonna get. It's a younger Enoch who knew to come at this point. There's a reason Enoch doesn't age, right? But you know, younger doesn't have to mean age-wise.
I got you.
It's like for Enoch, it could be 100 years before the events of this, and this is the moment that made him decide to take care of these people.
You okay. Know what I mean? So I'm just assuming we're going to get some cameos in the finale. Who do you think you will see?
I wonder if we'll get Nick Fury.
I would love to get some.
I don't think
I feel like Paxton. I feel like they owe us, but I don't think they're going to do it. But they owe us.
They owe us somebody
from the MCU,
right?
But then again, this show has stood on its own. and it doesn't need the MCU. You know,
okay, even if it doesn't need the big MCU, what about like a? I mean, I guess it's hard because technically they're still
on Hawkeye or something. Somebody, you know.
But like technically, they're still in the '80s, so you really can't. You know, well,
you don't have to get the actor. Maybe they don't have the budget to bring in Sam or somebody, but they could get someone to play the character.
I'm just thinking of like Mockingbird or Grant Ward or somebody like that, like seeing some of those people again. But in order to do that, I think they would have to move into the future, and I don't know that they're gonna.
Well, when was Captain Marvel? That was what, the '90s, Brie Larson.
Yeah, like so, 90, I mean,
maybe a young Brie Larson.
But she's not Captain Marvel.
It would be.
Actually, no. She, remember, she's not on Earth. She's up with the Kree.
That's true.
Maybe you get the young Sam Jackson, this young Nick Fury, the guy.
Nick Fury. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe young Tony Stark.
Old Agent Carter. Well, no. The Triskelion got blown up. We saw that.
Now remember, this is a different timeline now. So
different timeline.
So do you think that
they're not beholden to any rule?
Do you think they go back and fix the timeline, or are they stuck?
I think it's just the same. They're stuck in this parallel universe. You took you to another parallel universe. We're not in the same timeline that we were. I was talking about that with Jake and Drew the other day. Yesterday, I think we were talking about how, if you really think about it, they still lost. Infinity War, they lost. In that timeline, the one that we've been following all along, it ended in Infinity War. They lost. Once they went back and changed things and created a new timeline, that's a whole nother...
Well, hold on. No, but when they came back, the people were still snapped. When they came back from their journey...
Right, but when they brought them back... They created a new timeline. So that timeline.
Well, hold on. No, but they were in. God, we're getting. But they were still in the original timeline where everybody got snapped from Infinity War. It was five years later when the Hulk
was talking to the Doctor Strange lady or whatever, and he says, but we're going to go back and put them back where they were.
Right. So technically, it didn't. No, they're still they're in the main MCU timeline. They're still in it, because when they came back, the people were still snapped by Thanos. It was still that reality.
Are they though? Because, like, let's take look no, at
there's
Loki.
There's a timeline where they look did at, get snapped back, and there's a timeline Loki. Where they did get snapped back.
Because Loki died, but then when they went back to get the stone, he vanished with the.
Right, that's another time. That's a third time.
Right. That's a separate timeline. But when they came back, they didn't go back to that timeline.
That's a splinter.
They came back to the original. That's a splinter. And Loki.
When they came back to the original, once they re-snapped them back, they were in another timeline. That wasn't the main timeline.
No, that was their main. When the other one was a separate offshoot.
Oh, this was always the main one.
Right.
It's kind of like any shows. You always look at it like, well, what are the coincidences that this is the person that all this happened? No, because that's the story. The story is this is the only story that you tell. Okay, I get it. Now,
I got a question.
Oh, God. We're going off on a tangent timeline.
Could we get a Captain America cameo?
I'd love it, but I just don't see it.
Think about it. If everything...
No, because they didn't unfreeze him until...
He's still on the ice.
But they didn't have to try Skellion either in the 80s. Everything is on a fast-forward timeline.
But what if it's so the Captain America?
Maybe they dug him out already.
Or what if it's the Captain America that went back to spend time his life with Agent Carter, and he's like 75 years old?
That's true. Holy cow. I don't think we're going to get any Chris. I don't think he'll be in this. The more I think about it, the more I'm convinced we're not going to get anyone from the MCU because this is their show. You know what I mean? It's like these actors created this for us, and it's their show. They don't need anybody. Like,
okay, and I guess it's not necessarily MCU cameos, but previous Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, now that
cameos.
I can see. Okay. You know, like, somebody.
But I mean, I guess it's hard because they're still in the 80s. Like, they would have to go forward to a somewhat present timeline, like Deathlok. Deathlok was a big character. Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, Deathlok. What if that all comes full circle? He was like
Ghost
the first.
Rider. I'd love to see Ghost Rider again.
Thought about that. I really thought, like, Bobby and, like, you think of some of the agents that we've lost along the way.
Right. Yeah. I would have hoped to see them, but who knows?
But yeah, I don't know. either way, I am thinking, though, that like this season started super strong with the how they changed even the intro to fit the thing. And then
that was
the black and white episode, which was surprisingly great. All the different things. And then the second half of the season, it almost felt like they lost the, like, it was so big. You know, the stakes were so high. Now it's just like, really, we're just going to fight a maniacal guy who took powers? Like, we went and tried. We had to save Earth. We had to do all these great grand things, and now we're just fighting a guy who took powers? Yeah. It's back, maybe back to the roots.
And still Chronicoms a little bit, you know.
Yeah, Chronicoms just showed up, so.
But I definitely thought they would have jumped, you know, like they would have continued their journey, like, oh, there'll be an episode or two in the 90s, and then they'll get into the 2000s. So when you catch up, you can run into some of these older characters.
Yeah, they just stopped in the 80s for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear, when it's all said and done, I'd love to hear their explanation for why they thought that was a good idea.
But I am going to be making I'm bringing back an old classic. So I used to make Lost Bread for episodes of Lost.
Yeah, you're making
for the finale bread? Of Shield. I'm making Shield bread. Yeah.
How are you going to do it? You're going to cut
I'm going to do
like an egg in a hole kind of thing. You're going to make circles.
No, I'm going to get the big
and you can paint stars on them. Captain America shields.
Yeah.
You need to drink a Thanos.
Yep.
Oh, I'll be drinking a Thanos.
Oh, that's right. You got to get Thanos-y.
Right. Or maybe I'll get it. Maybe I'll get a Tesseract. Maybe I'll just drink a Tesseract instead.
That's the blue one. Mm-hmm. You like the blue ones better?
Yeah, a little bit. But it depends on the Truly I had. The Truly I had was the last one I had, which was fucking raspberry and lime, and it wasn't good. I need the berry.
Make a blue Sazerac. Tesseract, Sazerac. No, nothing.
I'd consider it. I ain't scared.
Nice try.
It makes sense in my head.
But anyways, it's going to be the end of an era. I mean, the last Marvel TV show, now Marvel. Everything's in... Yeah,
Marvel.
I did hear, though, from another podcast that Winter Soldier and Falcon... I know I got the name backwards. Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
That was supposed to come out in August, right? It looks like September. It's not like it's delayed long.
I think they only had like a week left of shooting, which I think they were able to go back and finally finish.
Yeah. And the word on the street is that they went back to the same locations, which shows that they didn't rewrite. They changed the story, that they're sticking with their original
story,
which is what everybody was like worried about, that they were going to have to change the story based on the fact that they had limited.
I want to see WandaVision too.
Yeah, I think that's still scheduled for like December maybe. But that's all under the Marvel Studios umbrella, whereas Marvel TV, which was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the Netflix stuff, that's officially like over. This is the last remnant of Marvel.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think would you say Marvel Studios they're gonna do better anyway.
Yeah, well, and everything's going to actually be connected to movies and stuff. So.
That's kind of what, you think about, like you said earlier, right,
it's kind
of the origin of the S.H.I.E.L.D. season one is what we all were excited about, was we thought we were going to get weekly connections to the bigger storyline.
Yeah. I mean, the one last thing I'll say is that I am really disappointed that the Avengers never got to learn that Coulson was still alive. That really, I thought eventually at some point that would happen. Yeah.
And I honestly thought he was going to appear in Endgame.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
But no dice.
So my last thing I'll ask is Sam Jackson, why wasn't he really in any of those last few Avengers movies, like the last two Avengers movies?
Well, in Endgame,
contracts.
In Endgame, he was snapped.
Yeah, he was snapped in Endgame.
Right
at the end.
But even Infinity War. I mean, like he. I thought Nick Fury and Sam Jackson. You would think.
Well,
they'd utilize that.
No, well, some of it could be some of it could be contracts. Some of it could be, well, there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. He's just kind of out doing whatever, and the hero. There were too many other characters to kind of throw him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about like Chris Pratt, or anything. Like, Chris Pratt wasn't even in Endgame much. I mean, other than like a couple scenes at the end.
Well, just like all the Snap people, they weren't until the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, you got anything last to say? Like, none of the guys that were watching her are watching her.
we went off
totally geeked out on
the big geeky deep end right here.
That's right.
Looking forward to some Saints stuff coming out hopefully soon. And some news. Some. You know, I'm hoping that with not having a preseason, we can. It'll be easier maybe to avoid the injury bug. Knock on wood.
Maybe.
No. So.
All right. Well, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation at Dome Patrol US, Dome Patrol UK. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts like the one you just did. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, bubble donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.